Well, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians. We're back after Easter. We finished. We took a little bit of a break, went to the Gospels, preached through Jesus coming to town. We preached through, obviously, everything that was happening up to that point of Jesus' plan of his death, burial, and resurrection. And now Paul is writing, the Apostle Paul has written the truth for us today, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and beginning in chapter 3. And then we're going to be finished with 2 Thessalonians 1st and 2 Thessalonians we're done with, unless God brings us back into those chapters or books again. 2 Thessalonians, I don't want you to forget, Paul told the church, do not be afraid. I was only with you a short time, but I told you when I was with you what's going to happen. We know what we actually have a truth today. We're still waiting for it to happen because time with God is not like our time. God didn't have a calendar or a clock going, oh my goodness, it's almost out of time. He knows the date. He has a planned date for us as humans. But Jesus Christ is going to return for his church. Paul was clear in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, he is coming again. Amen? Well, and today, be careful when you roll up, if you want to study 2 Thessalonians, be careful what you read, because when the Lord returns, obviously the rapture of the church, some people don't believe he's coming. Did you know in Paul's time, some people didn't believe. They actually started, he's already came, and you missed it. Did you know they were teaching that in Paul's, to the church of Thessalonica? They're teaching, hey, you've already missed it. Paul said, you hadn't missed it. You hadn't missed it. Don't listen to that. There's men who are writing. They're in deceiving. Today, there's podcasts about you've missed it. Did you know that? Did you know that? There's people teaching today on YouTube. You look on the internet, and they're going to tell every one of us we missed the rapture and that we're actually currently in the millennial period. We're living in peace. Jesus is ruling and reigning. Don't read the newspaper, just believe what I'm telling you, right? It's true. People believe that today. You say, well, I believe that. Well, you need to go back and read a stronger version of Scripture, right? Go back and say, take it apart and read, what does Paul say, even in chapter 2? If you had no other Bible, didn't have the book of Revelation, you didn't have any of the prophecies, if you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you would get a picture of where Paul says in the beginning of verse 1, hey, listen, matter of fact, let's go back and look at verse 1. It's not in today's message, but look. Now, brethren, that's brothers and sisters, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, and then he goes in, not to be soon shaken. Why? He has not come. Some people have said he's come, and today some people still say he's come. He has not come. We're still waiting. You say, it's been so long. Has it really? How long have you been waiting for him to come? Most of you are under the age of 100, aren't you? You hadn't been waiting that long. Time with God is not measured like time with man. In God's fullness of time, Jesus is coming again. Amen? The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and those who are of us that are alive, remain alive, will be joined together with them in the sky. Then the next thing that's come is this scared thing that we're afraid of, the day, or the day of the Lord. Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? If you read the Bible as it's written, you have nothing to worry about. I'm not going to be here for the judgment. The 7 years of tribulation, we're not going to be here. We're going to be up in heaven. We'll go through judgment, heaven, but we're not going to be here. We're going to be in heaven. If the rapture of the church happens, as the word says, we're snatched up and gathered together with the Lord, we're with the Lord. And all the stuff that we left down here on earth, there's going to be a time of great fruitfulness. I'm sure they'll say, aliens took us. Those bothering people who always said, you can't do this, you can't live alternative lifestyles. They're going to have something to say about those of us that are gone. They're going to come by your house. And they're going to loot your house. They're going to take your possessions. They're going to get everything that you left behind. They're going to take. And there's going to be 3.5 years of really, like, we're going to get it together. And it's going to be a worldwide phenomenon. So the church of Thessalonica, people were coming in and saying, hey, there were even some writing a letter saying, it's already happened. You missed it. How would you feel if you actually put your heart and life and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking he's coming again, and somebody comes in with authority, takes a podium and says, he's already been here, and you missed it. Where would your heart be? What hope do I have? Would your hope be good or bad? You'd have a hope-so hope, right? A hope. We have a no-so hope, ladies and gentlemen, if we're Christians today. We know the word is true. Let's go and read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to pick up, and Paul talked to the church about the man of lawlessness that was coming, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. He talks about him all the way up to verse 12 and tells you, hey, there's going to be this Antichrist that's going to come on the scene. When we're taken away, he is on the scene. He has to be alive before this time. Paul also says there's an apostasy, which means a falling away. It's got to happen. It's going to be happening as we get closer to that day. Let me ask you a question. Is the church falling away? Not the church proper, those of us that are saved, but is the organization of the church falling away? We can look at our denominations that were really strong once upon a time, and where are we? Where are they? Southern Baptist Convention, I'm telling you, as we are a Southern Baptist church, we're making a decision. Who are we this June in Dallas, Texas? And if they make a decision, if there's a popular vote that votes against Scripture, I will no longer be a Southern Baptist preacher June 15th. I can just tell you, I don't know what I'm going to do. I wouldn't lead a church out, but I will not be a Southern Baptist preacher if they allow women pastors to be pastors. He must be the husband of one wife. He must be. She can't be. And we're making a decision this June. We already tried it 2 years ago. We say it in our faith, statement of faith, but we're solidifying it in our bylaws who we are. It takes 2 years to approve that. And if that offends you, well, I'm happy. All right, let's go. Because the Lord's offended you. The Lord said in 1 Timothy chapter 3 what a pastor should be. And it's not just the check boxes. Oh, he's good. Well, because what's happening is in our seminaries, we're letting women get theological degrees just like men, which is no problem. You can grow in your faith and knowledge. But what's happening is a lot of the women are now going on with their PhDs, and they're smarter, book smarter, than most of the pastors that are in the pulpit. And they go back and study original languages. They get opportunities, which is awesome. But what's happening with what do you do with knowledge once you get it? With knowledge comes responsibility, right? To be a Bible study teacher. Can women teach in the church? For sure. We actually go back and look. Can they teach in community? For sure. But when it comes to actually leading from the church, from actually teaching, watch what the Lord says. Go back and read for yourself if you haven't read the book of Titus. We preached to that. Go back and look what Paul says to Timothy, how he structured the church. And if that's offensive to you today, listen, I'm not trying to be offensive. From my standpoint, I'm just telling you, the Word of God always offends the world. The world's always opposed to God. And then Paul writes to this church, Thessalonica, they're fired up. They're afraid. They're afraid that they've missed the rapture. Someone has come in. If we read the text, like it says, they've come in and said, hey, you've missed Jesus, and you guys have hope for nothing. You're just getting together as a country club. Let's read together in verse 13 of chapter 2. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. That's a mouthful there. That's a sermon series all by itself. Verse 14, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold on. Hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle, this letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Then he transitions. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. Did you not hear that from Mr. Goodman this morning? Pray for us that the word of God would what? Go forth that why? That Jesus Christ, the gospel, might be given out. We have a same, similar purpose. If you're a Christian, this is our purpose. And that we may, verse 2, may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. That's a strong statement, is it not? But the Lord is what, church? Faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have this confidence. We're confident in this. The Lord, confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word and for the truth. I'm thankful that Paul wrote in times of trouble to a church that was in trouble. And I'm thankful that their faith was stretched and they had to depend on you. Lord, they couldn't see physically you, but Lord, they had to trust and that you were going to do and all the things that you said you would do and all the words that Paul spoke as an apostle of Christ. Lord, he spoke the truth because he had sacrificed and given up his life to serve you. Lord, I pray that we would be mindful and be like the church at Thessalonica, not in our doubts and our worries and stresses, but Lord, in our faith and belief that we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that you look over the church and Lord, you have that good, that really good hope for us through your grace. Thank you for your loving care for us. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Take your notes if you would this morning. I want you to see this. The sermon title is pretty simple. Stand firm, pray in hope, and wait patiently. How many of us do that really well? Anybody? How many stand firm? Society comes against us. We've had it in, we know we have a federal facility near us, and they teach you diversity training. Did they not? The last administration forced you to sit in classrooms and say, a man can be a woman can be a man, told you all these alternative lifestyles, and you have to get over yourself and get with it and just understand these are the times, and that's how it's going to be. Am I speaking the truth? Yes or no? And it's not just in the federal workplaces, but it's seeping down in every workplace. It's not just in the regular workplace, it's in our society. It's not just in our society, it has crept its way into our churches. I'm telling you, church, if you're not clear or if you're clueless about what's going on, I watched the United Methodist Conference. And I know y'all are former Methodists, not Methodists, I know you're Methodists now, the Global Methodists. They come to the podium and spoke very the man spoke like a woman, and the woman affirmed sitting beside him, and they basically said, you're not using proper pronouns. When we're in pastors, you need to make sure you're using proper pronouns. And they went over and over again instead of lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're talking about using proper pronouns and focusing on what the world says. To that, I'm watching somebody, I think Jeremiah sent it to me, and I'm just like, God forbid. Because they were like us, and it's just a few short time period that we are not on that same path if we don't stand strong. If we don't stand firm and say, listen, though the world come by me, come at me, I'm going to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and his word no matter what. Is there a right interpretation of Scripture? Yes or no? Is the Holy Spirit, listen, still moving men and women today, telling us how to actually understand the Word of God? Does God have a plan for every man and woman, boy and girl? It's in his scope, his plan, that he actually works all things. If we fall outside of that, we'll become unfaithful. We'll just say, what's the use? Everybody else is doing it. It'd be easy for me to preach every Sunday that Jesus Christ is love. We could preach a hubba bubba bubblegum sermon and just fill the pews and say, listen, isn't it good that we're in the house of the Lord together? God is love. Listen, if you understand the love of God, it's holy and pure. Did you know that the Bible says God hates as well? But his hatred is loving, and we don't understand it. We get confused because we love grandma, we love pizza, we love each other. We get it all discombobulated, and then we come back and we hate. Well, you can't say hate anymore, can you? Does the Bible say God hates sin? It does. And it talks about abominations, and those are hard words if you look them up, even in English. Well, let's get to you. I want you to see this. We all need what? Encouragement for sure, do we not? Especially in these days. The Apostle Paul gave thanks for and encouraged the believers in Thessalonica as they endured persecution. They're going through tough times. I was talking to the students this morning, the college students, as I was teaching what happens in our society, what happens in any society when a large portion of the society becomes Christian. The sale of alcohol starts to reduce. Sale of lottery tickets go down. The in their culture, they made little shrines and they made little idols. And the guy's like, man, are you selling as many idols as you were selling them 6 months ago? No, man, my business is down. Nightclubs are closing. Police departments don't know what they're going to do because they've got too many police officers and not enough crime to pay and not enough tickets to pay the salaries, not enough income coming in. We start to affect, Christians can affect society, and it's really Christ in us, not us. Christ in us affects society. I called my senator this week and said, hey, I called his secretary, left a message. I said, I want you to know, I know y'all need to call your senator and representative. It's happening, and they're voting for it. Casinos are coming to South Carolina. Horse racing is coming. Gambling is coming to South Carolina. Video poker is coming to South Carolina. Increased lotteries coming to South Carolina. And we are standing right on the tip of the iceberg, and I called and said, I'm telling you, I'm a pastor. I'm going to tell my church Sunday. I'm like a little kid. I'm going to tell on you to our people, and we're going to rip your phones up. Listen, can I tell you, Call your senator. You say, I don't know who it is. Type in Aiken County. Who's my senator? Type in. Who's my representative? Type it in and call them. Leave a voicemail. Don't put the little thing on the computer. Call them and say, I am totally opposed. Me and my family are opposed to this ill. I told him the lottery is for the stupid and the poor. People that want to get rich, they want a little bit more, or they think, I'm just going to play it. Someone, I watched the television program. Listen, we must oppose it at all corners because it's going to bring in, there's nothing good that comes out of any of it. Do you understand that? When it's ill-gotten gain, the Bible talks about, when you get ill-gotten gain, what happens? I lost my $5 million in the lottery, whatever it might be. We see the American television reality shows about it right now. I'm just telling you, it's coming. Crime's going to increase. Homelessness is going to increase. Breaking and entering is going to increase. You watch and see what's going to happen in our society as they bring this on our society. If we don't stand now as a church and say, we oppose that, call your cousins, everybody you know, call them and oppose it. And if you're for it, listen, you're part of the problem. Christians should stand for Christ things. We're more and more like Christ. With wisdom and inspiration from the Holy Spirit, he not only warned them of serious events to come, but he also strengthened them with hope and truth. I want you to see this. It goes back to the first part of the chapter. Paul reminded the church that the Lord Jesus Christ would return for his people and that all who belonged to him would be gathered together with him. He also cautioned them among the coming revelation of the mystery of lawlessness. That's the Antichrist. A time when evil and satanic influence would increase. And I gave you the reference in your notes. If you have a bulletin today, go back and read this at home. Despite these sobering warnings, Paul gave thanks for their faith in Jesus Christ, a faith that was a gift of grace through the work of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be saved unless the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, actually allows you to be saved. Do you understand that? Your salvation, your sanctification is not your own. It's a gift of God. You cannot earn it. You can't be good enough. You can't buy it. There's nothing you can do to cause yourself to be saved and sanctified. What you have to do is God draws you. He invites you to the party. He wants you to come and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And you say, well, it's a still small voice. What is it that moves me? It's the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you how he moves you, but he moved me to go and respond that day. When that preacher preached, you must be born again. I'm like, what in the world is this all about? I didn't know what I was doing. I walked forward, took the preacher's hand in Virginia. And when I was in the military, and I said, I want what you're talking about. I want that peace that passes understanding. He said, I'm talking about Jesus. And I went, oh, I've heard about that my whole life. I went to walk away, and he said, you walk away, you're going to hell. Is that offensive? Is that a good, positive message? Was that a truth from the Word of God? And it offended me. I turned around and said, what'd you say? You're going to hell. Walk away, you're going to hell. He didn't tell me to go to hell. He told me I was going. And I turned around, and I said, then what do I have to do? And he said, get on your knees. He was a pretty rough preacher. Get on your knees. And you pray with me. And we prayed. And listen, the Lord Jesus Christ took that burden away from me. He lifted me to a different place. He took away the language. I was in the Navy. I spoke like a sailor. I know there's some children still here. I spoke like a sailor. I acted like a sailor. He took away and he gave me something new. He gave me peace and he settled me and he gave me a new hope. And listen, it's still working today. And it's been a long, long time ago. Through the preaching of the eternal good news, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and their believing, that was part of it. They believed that they heard the word, they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they believed in their hearts, and they were saved. And then God said, I'm setting you apart. So I want you to know this. Sanctification, big word we don't often use anymore because people are illiterate from Scripture because we don't read it. We check Facebook a whole lot more than we check Scripture or social media. Is that not true? ChatGPT. Someone showed me something that in their Bible study was from ChatGPT. It can do some good work if you put the right statements in the right scripture, but listen, be careful with AI. It's artificial intelligence, all right? It's not God. You want to be spoken to by the Holy Spirit, go to the Word. And when you read it, what happens, you say, wait, is that a truth? That offends me, but it draws me at the same time. You see what happens with the Word of God? It makes you, it shows you, you are a sinner. It's a mirror reflection of who you are in your sin. Born a sinner, walking life as a sinner, acting like a sinner, but here comes Jesus to save sinners from their sin. So what he told Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Y'all remember singing that if you went to church? The whole point of that is not Zacchaeus being little, not a stinking sycamore tree, not even inviting Jesus to his house. It was salvation has come to your house today. Because what Zacchaeus started doing, hey, if I stole it, I'm going to give it back. If I've mistreated someone, I'm going to go out and help the poor. His heart was changed. Instead of give me, give me, give me, he started, I want to give, I want to give, I want to give. He started giving himself away. Happens every time someone gives their heart and life to Jesus Christ. He radically changes us to be like Jesus. So what he does when he saves you, that you have been saved, that means the Holy Spirit has come inside of you. He sealed you to the day of redemption. And Jesus says through his word, what can take you from my hand? Read Romans 8 for yourself. Height or death, life, angels, principalities. Paul lists all these things. He said, I am persuaded. That means he had confidence and boldness in the word of God and sealed by the Holy Spirit that nothing can remove us from the love of God. So how many times did Jesus die on the cross? Show me with your fingers so the kids can see. How many? One time. How many times, listen, how many times must you be saved? Once, because Jesus won't die again for your sins. And you're saved forever. Do you understand? It's forever. So don't lose sight of that, because sometimes you, when you get into sin, you'll chew your fingernails down to the quick and say, but I've done all these things. Like the man in your story, I've done all these things. How could Jesus love me knowing what I've done? That's the grace of God. We don't fully understand it, but it's what the word teaches us there. And I gave you some scriptures to go along with the scripture. Can we see John 10, 28? I want you to see for a moment. If you go back and look at John 28, it's one of our, we would call our go along with the scriptures. John 10, 28 says this, and it's clearly from God's word that God has a word for us. And as you read John 10, 28, I want you to think about yourself. This is Jesus speaking. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never, what does your Bible say? Perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You ever been something snatched out of your hand before? You had a friend or somebody snatch something from you? It's very offensive, right? Hey, give that back to me. God has never said that one time. God will never say that ever, because nothing, no one is going to snatch you from the hand of God, says God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that powerful? I can never lose my salvation. That's why we share the good news. Listen, what if somebody shoots you and you die? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. They come in and say, oh, you Christians are all the same. Y'all think y'all have know all the answers. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for my name's sake, says Jesus. We can't lose, church. Listen, we have the Holy Spirit within us. We can't lose. We have his word. He gave us not just a book. He gave us 66 individual books built into a library so we can know how they lived in the past and be encouraged by their faith and strengthened and have prophetic word that's going to happen in the future. And we have a present situation we can read and say, that applies to me. It's amazing the word of God that we have. God is so good. Go back to, I want you to see in your notes, Paul exhorted the church to stand firm and hold tightly to the godly traditions they had been taught. This is not the traditions of the church that you have to have revival every spring and every fall. Y'all know that? Did y'all grow up like that? Hey, y'all pray for us. We have spring revival next week. Well, did God call it or did mankind call it? Well, it's been on the calendar since 1918, so we have to do it every April, whatever it might be, right? Not those traditions. Paul is saying the word of God, the traditions of preaching Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, preaching that you must be born again, preaching that it's a forever salvation, and preaching that you must follow through a believer's baptism after you've been saved, and then preaching that you must be teaching the word of God. Christians have a responsibility instead of just sitting in church, soaking it up, and going home and souring. This morning I walked in the kitchen, in our kitchen. I told Derek, man, it smells like somebody's filleted fish and left them sitting out in here. Something is bad. Do you know that's what we look like and smell like before God most of the time? We as Christians, I'm a Christian too. I sing the songs, I pray the prayers, I read my Bible once in a while. And then I just sour. I just turn stinky as society. I don't make a difference. I don't tell anybody about the light of Jesus. I don't sing. I just keep it to myself. I told Mitchell, I think he's volunteering this morning. He started the nuclear plant working. I said, Mitchell, I was talking to an adult this week about you and encouraging how you're praying for your group. He prays, hey, pray for my group. And he's leading it by example. I said, don't you mess that up, because you're encouraging me. And this person said, I've been working out there for years, and I've never shared the gospel one time. Mitchell, a teenager, well, now, is he 20 yet? Oh, he's no longer, I'm getting old. He is making a difference in his, he's making a difference in his work ethic, but also in his word ethic, okay? The Holy Spirit, what you look, assures us that Jesus Christ and God our Father loves the church and has given us eternal encouragement and a solid hope of salvation through his grace. Amen. This truth brings comfort, strength, and perseverance to every believer. If you know this and you believe this, you will be encouraged. It is how the church remains steadfast, grounded in every good work and word and work. That's what I was talking about with Mitchell. Word and work. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 through 10. Then and now the church is called to give daily effort in praying for the gospel preachers and teachers that the word of the Lord would spread how? Quickly and be honored by those who hear it. We all are also to pray for protection from wicked and faithless people. Did you know the unbelievers are still unbelieving today? Just like in Paul's time, just like the church was threatened throughout history, the church is being threatened today. We don't see as much here, but it's coming to a zip code near us. You better believe it. Finally, believers must remember. If you don't remember anything from the sermon today, remember this. The Lord is faithful. He will protect his own. Our part is to know his will, do his will, and remain patient even in the midst of persecution. Because persecution is going to grow in our homes. Persecution is going to grow in our families. Persecution is going to grow in our communities, in our state, in our nation. You watch and see, it's going to get tighter and tighter as we move closer and closer to the falling away. The churches that are the church of the apostasy, they're going to say, listen, we side with the government. We believe what the government believes. We need to be more diverse as a church. We need to actually open our doors and say, listen, just because you choose to be an alternative lifestyle, we need to accept those people. Can I tell you this morning, anyone in our community is welcome to come in our church. But if you're living in a sinful lifestyle, according to what God's standard is, when you hear the word of God, it's going to impact you right in the gut. God will hit your heart and say, who does he think he is? So many times I've had people come in and say, when I came into this church, I was a visitor and you made me angry. Don't amen that. But I know we've had the conversation. You think you know everything. I don't know even a portion of what I thought I knew when I first started in ministry, not 27 years ago. Every time I learn something new, I learned that I don't know even that much. But listen, I'm going to keep preaching what I do know, that God's word is forever faithful. And the Holy Spirit, listen, guides me and he'll guide you to learn the word of God. He'll guide you to be encouraged and he'll turn back around and use you as an encourager to change the world. Your world, your sphere. He's not asking you to necessarily go to Thailand. Y'all saw the people that's going to Thailand. It's a 10-person team. But we can go ahead of Thailand team with prayer and we can go with them on prayer and we can go behind them on prayer. These Gideon Bibles, we can go ahead of them as they get printed. Think about this. You could be buying Bibles that haven't even been printed yet. Isn't that amazing to think about? So that the word might go forth in Jesus' name. Let me pray for us today. Father God, I thank you so much that you love us. I thank you for the good worship this morning and song. I thank you for the testimony of Mr. Goodman. I thank you for his wife being with him today, because we know every good man that preaches the word or teaches the word has a good woman usually behind him that encourages him or has encouraged him in the times past. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of the Gideons. Thank you for the ministry you've given them. But Lord, ultimately, thank you for the word of God that goes forth in Jesus' name. Though it be in our hands, what translation we have, Lord, we know that it's actually your word that we are to be encouraged to learn from, but also to give away that we might bless others in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray for his sake. Amen.